the president was awakened by Walt Rostow, his special assistant for national security affairs, at about that time. He got up immediately and since then has been following the news very closely and preparing this statement, which I will now read to you. "There are no words," says the president, "equal to the horror of this tragedy. Our thoughts and our prayers are with Senator Kennedy, his family, and the other victims. All America prays for his recovery. We also pray that divisiveness and violence be driven from the hearts of men everywhere." That statement issued by the White House from President Johnson. The president has talked several times this morning with Attorney General Ramsey Clark and with FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, but there is no information available here beyond what you know on the identity of the assassin or anything else connected with this, except the president's activities. He has mainly been trying to organize the Secret Service detail that I mentioned to be assigned to every presidential candidate from now on. There is no enabling legislation for this action. It's being taken without the consent of Congress, but of course it's expected that Congress will approve the action to protect all the presidential candidates, and this includes Governor Wallace of Alabama, Senator McCarthy, and of course Vice President Hubert Humphrey has already his own Secret Service detail to guard him, Governor Rockefeller of New York, and former Vice President Richard Nixon. The president told the head of the Secret Service, James Rowley, that if he needed more manpower to get it anywhere that he needed it immediately, that is, not only from the Secret Service, but from the FBI, from the military police, or wherever he could get the immediate manpower and get those men onto the guard details around the presidential candidates and their families. President Johnson also called the hospital in Los Angeles, where he talked with Senator Edward Kennedy, with Senator Robert Kennedy's aide, Ted Sorensen, and with Stephen Smith, the brother-in-law of the two Kennedy senators. He expressed his personal sympathy and concern and informed them of the guard detail that he has now assigned to all presidential candidates. Mike?
As I said earlier, Senator McCarthy and Vice President Humphrey are on their way back to Washington, or will shortly be on their way back to Washington. Neither Richard Nixon nor Nelson Rockefeller, the other presidential candidates, nor, to my the best of my knowledge, George Wallace, have yet issued statements. Nelson Rockefeller, I believe, Bob, is in Washington, where he is to make a speech or hold a news conference at the National Press Club today, and Richard Nixon is at his home here in New York.
You know, Mike, this action of the president in assigning Secret Service protection to the candidates right. is, unfortunately, just the kind of thing that Senator Kennedy wouldn't have wanted. We heard John Hart say that he'd refused police protection. And it leads to this kind of thought, that one of the reasons this strain of violence is so apparent in America is that it is an open society. It's so easy for potential assassins to reach these men. You know, there's just almost no way for a presidential candidate mingling in the crowds, as they all feel they must, to avoid this kind of thing. It brings tears to your eyes to think of how it's just almost unavoidable.
I agree with you, Charles, and you've covered presidential candidates on campaign trail, and you know that even with a guard, how difficult it is going to be if there is a man who wants to do this. How comparatively easy, unless you have a huge guard and unless the presidential candidate goes around in an armored car. Lyndon Johnson himself, face it, over a period of the last 2 or 3 years, has approached those chain-link fences at airports to shake hands with his constituents. And the same is true. It's part of the whole campaigning syndrome. You want to touch the flesh of the people who are the potential voters. And I find it difficult to understand just what function a guard is going to perform. if a man is really going to campaign out among the people.
It was in a crowd that Senator Robert Kennedy, the 42-year-old aspirant to the presidency, was shot and very critically wounded, and we are still awaiting news from the Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles, news of the outcome of apparently is now an hour and a half operation.
I was right there. I hope I never see a sight like that again. This won't be a newsman's type report. It'll be quite biased. It was terrible, absolutely horrible. There was a man wounded in his side, a young boy. Before I cracked up here, I had a time to interview him. He was not severely wounded, right on the left side, right side of his hip, just above the bone there, and he's all right. There was another man that was shot right in the stomach. He had blood all over his white shirt from his chin all over the floor, and he looked in bad shape. There was a woman that was shot right in the forehead, right smack in the forehead. When I saw Senator Kennedy, he was laying on the, after he fell, there was just, it was just terrible. He was laying there. It was just all over again, the Dallas thing. His eyes were closed. He was not moving. It took two or three minutes to get a doctor, or it seemed like hours, but they finally got a doctor in there, and then they petitioned it off, and all the newsmen were trying to back people off. It was mass confusion. I'll try to describe Senator Kennedy, but I'll never forget that sight as long as I live. He was lying there, just, I hate to say it, but he was just dead still. His eyes were closed, and there was blood all over the side of his head.
We have just learned that the prince has been made the life of Senator Robert Kennedy, who was received in that sacrament of the church in life in critical condition. We deplore this new manifestation of violence and terror, and we pray for the life and health of the few men who are offering himself to the public service of his country.
That's a little difficult to understand, partially because of the sound in the great basilica and the accent. What he said in English is very brief. He said, and I quote, "With profound sorrow, we have just learned that an attempt has been made on the life of Senator Robert Kennedy, who has received the last sacraments of the church and lies in critical condition. We deplore this new manifestation of violence and crime, and we pray for the life and health of the man who has offered himself to the public service of his country."
That was Frank Kearns reporting to us from Rome. We've had reports from the major European capitals as well as from our own capital about the shooting of Senator Kennedy, which occurred about 4 hours ago in Los Angeles. When Kennedy's press secretary, Frank Mankiewicz, talked to reporters last, he told them to expect that the operation will take about 45 minutes to an hour. From Paris, of all places, we may have a little better word on the length of that operation. Sergeant Shriver has said that he doesn't plan to leave France until the results of the operation are known, and he said the operation may take 1 to 3 hours. His information is probably pretty good because he's been in touch with the hospital. He is, of course, a brother-in-law of Senator Kennedy.
Charles, CBS News correspondent Gary Shepard, who is in Los Angeles, has some late word, I believe, on at the exact time that that operation began. Gary?
Yes, Mike. We have found out that the operation began at 3:12 a.m. Pacific time, 6:12 a.m. New York time, and that makes it about an hour and 10 minutes in progress at the moment. Still no word, of course, on the condition of the senator, except that what we heard before is that he was in very critical condition going into the operating room. It is expected, of course, that we should hear something very soon. The reports we had here were that the operation would last 45 minutes to an hour, And I just heard your comment from Paris that it may last longer than that. But 3:12 a.m. was the time the surgery began.
It's now, so that you may have an idea of the length of time the operation is going on already, 25 minutes after the hour. Mike Wallace, some time ago, you told us a little something about the nature of the operation that Senator Kennedy is undergoing. Another CBS newsman, Steve Young, talked with Dr. Joseph Ranzohoff, a doctor here. He is chief of neurosurgery at Bellevue Hospital in New York.
I heard one reporter or somebody, and I was watching television or radio, saying it was in the, directly in the midline in the medulla. And if that's so, of course, it's clearly very serious, because this is an area of the brain which is critical. And if the bullet really entered his ear and went directly into the midline, it's a very, very critical wound.
What functions does that section of the brain control?
Well, it controls really most of the vital functions of the body, connecting the higher centers of thought and of function to the lower, more vegetative centers. And an injury in that area is generally not commensurate with life for any length of period.
Is there any significance, Doctor, in the fact that the senator apparently did not lose consciousness immediately?
Yeah, of course, the fact that he didn't lose consciousness immediately is encouraging. And that what may be happening now is that he may have developed a blood clot around the bullet or swelling around the bullet, and that's the one hopeful thing. Of course, the fact that it was a .22 bullet and hit the mastoid first is also in his favor, in that a larger bullet or one which didn't hit such thick bone might have gone right on through, and this at least the caliber, the speed of the bullet was considerably reduced by the thickness of the bone that it hit.
We believe that Senator Kennedy may be right-handed. Is there any comfort in the fact that the bullet entered the right ear?
No, this is lower than that part of the brain, you see. You're a right-handed person, the left side of the brain controls speech. But this area of the brain, which apparently has been struck, is below the areas which involve that type of function, and really is in the area which is related to the basic control of most functions and at least the connections between the lower vegetative functions such as blood pressure, pulse, respiration, and the higher functions such as speech.
What are the team of surgeons doing now, do you suppose? What is a normal procedure in this kind of operation?
Probably have enlarged the wound of entrance. Are cleaning out the blood clot and material that may have been damaged or driven in, are also probably eventually going to take out the bullet, although an operation for just simply taking out the bullet is not really the crux of the matter. The bullet itself has done its damage when it comes to rest. And the fact that he was conscious and has lost consciousness would suggest that there may have been a major blood vessel which was torn and hemorrhaged, and therefore by removing the hemorrhage and the clot, he may have some chance.
Doctor, what is the likelihood that the senator, if he survives, will suffer permanent damage?
Well, the likelihood is that he will have suffered some permanent damage, but it may, again, not be to the higher integrative functions which make him what he is, but to functions which control other things if it went through the cerebellum to get to this area, he may have had some trouble with balance and this sort of thing. But if he survives, it's possible that he can recover and be a functioning individual.
What is the normal post-operative period for someone who suffers a wound such as this?
There is no such thing. The fact that he's alive at this point already takes him out of the normal course of events. Wound in that area is highly critical, usually fatal. But certainly, if he's alive, it's going to be a long and slow process.
CBS News reporter Steve Young talking with the chief of neurosurgery at Bellevue Hospital in New York, Dr. Joseph Rantzelhoff, a man who we emphasize has not, of course, seen Senator Kennedy himself, but is just talking about the kind of wound that Senator Kennedy apparently received. Six other very competent neurosurgeons are fighting to save Senator Kennedy's life. The brother of the slain president, John F. Kennedy, in room surgery now for 1 hour and 18 minutes at Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles. This report will continue, of course, through the morning.
This is CBS News headquarters in New York. Alan Jackson reporting with Mike Wallace to bring you the news of this night, in which Senator Robert Kennedy has been shot and wounded in Los Angeles. CBS News has been bringing you details ever since the event occurred some 4 hours ago. At last report, Senator Kennedy was still in the hospital undergoing an operation by a team of six neurosurgeons for the extraction of a bullet which had lodged in his brain. There have been no further reports since then on his condition, and we are simply standing by there and around the country for further details as they become available. One man has been arrested in the shooting. He has not been identified. He has been described by police as a male Caucasian, around 25, 5 feet 5 inches tall, 120 pounds, a swarthy complexion. We heard from CBS correspondent Roger Mudd a short while ago. Police had lodged a John Doe warrant or charge against a man in the shooting, meaning that the indictment or the charge is actually open until the identification can be made. Word from Paris is that three members of the Kennedy family there are waiting for further word on Senator Robert Kennedy's surgery before deciding whether to return to the United States. Kennedy's brother-in-law and sister, Ambassador and Mrs. Sergeant Shriver, and Mrs. Edward Kennedy, wife of the youngest of the Kennedy sons, are keeping in touch with other members of the family in Los Angeles. Mrs. Edward Kennedy was visiting the Shrivers in Paris when the news came through. Shriver said that the family had been advised not to leave France until the results of the operation are known. He said that he had been told the operation would take 1 to 3 hours, and that he added that the Shrivers are making arrangements to fly to the United States if necessary.
Senator Eugene McCarthy has called off his plans to go to Seattle, Washington, to further his campaign there today. He said that instead he would fly directly back to Washington. Senator Hubert Humphreys in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for convocation exercises at the Air Force Academy. He, too, is going to fly back to Washington today. In Washington, Attorney General Ramsey Clark has ordered the FBI to investigate the shooting. Clark says that we have jurisdiction under both the Voting Rights Act and the new Civil Rights Act. However, Clark says that the primary role in the investigation will be handled by Los Angeles law enforcement agencies. And of course, horror and disbelief were reported around the world this morning as ordinary citizens and top government leaders learned of the shooting. The world goes on. In Paris, the peace talks between North Vietnam and the United States commenced again at 10:30 this morning, Paris time. Governor Harriman, who was the chief negotiator for the United States in those talks, made a short statement just before he went into the negotiations, saying that he did not want to comment at any length until he had more news of what actually had happened and what had happened during the operation in the hospital. And on the other side of the world, of course, virtually all the news has been crowded off the wires and off the front pages this morning. But in Vietnam, street fighting slacked off in one sector of Vietnam, but in another part of Saigon, fresh North Vietnamese troops are reported moving in, bands of Viet Cong reported slipping out of the Chinese sector of Cholon. Alan?
There's word in from Saigon, Mike, on some quick reaction from some of the American GIs and civilians out there who were stunned and angered by the news. Several of them commented simply, "Oh my God," another said, "What's happening back there?" And another said, "It reminds me of last time." And with a sort of a grim reminder, it reminds me of that last time, too. When the news came from Dallas, and I was the first anchor man to be called in on that, and the sad news came on through the afternoon from Dallas of the shooting and then the death of President John Kennedy.
There is one difference, of course, in the way the case is being handled in Los Angeles, and that is that newsmen are not going to be able to see or question the suspect in this case. President Johnson leads the nation, a horrified nation this morning, in praying for the recovery of Senator Kennedy. Johnson, who succeeded to office when John Kennedy was slain before his eyes in Dallas 4 years ago, said that there are no words to equal the horror of this newest tragedy. All America prays for his recovery, said the president, and we also pray that divisiveness and violence be driven from the hearts of men everywhere. And ironically, on this night of triumph for Robert Kennedy, a time when he won the California primary, which he called the most urbanized of states, and the primary in South Dakota, which he called the most rural of states, in his victory speech at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, he called for an end to violence and an end to divisiveness. And no more than 5 minutes later, he himself was shot down.
I think it's interesting to note that in one of the first reactions among the people at the scene at the time of the shooting was the cry in reference to the alleged shooter, "We want to take this man alive. Don't injure him," which of course was a very direct and quick reference to what happened to Lee Harvey Oswald in Dallas on that other occasion. President Johnson has been quick to assign special Secret Service protection to all presidential candidates and to the families of all presidential candidates. Robert Pierpoint, reporting from the White House a short while ago, said that the president had issued orders that the Secret Service was to get the men from their own ranks or from the FBI or wherever necessary, but to get them and to put them on duty as quickly as possible.
It's a little difficult, Alan, to understand just how a man is going to be able to campaign for the presidency and move out among the crowds around this country with a police guard around him.
It's difficult at this point, Mike, to wonder just what sort of a campaign will ensue from now on. Of course, all of the candidates have canceled their immediate plans for campaigning, but where do you go from here? We wait to hear what the condition of Senator Kennedy is, and however the outcome goes, the campaign will not be the same again.
Earlier this morning, Walter Cronkite speculated upon the possibility of a moratorium of whatever length on political campaigning, and it seems reasonable to imagine that there will be some moratorium in any case. The Republican candidates for president, Richard Nixon, who was at his home here in New York, and Nelson Rockefeller, who has spent the night in Washington. I do not know where Governor Wallace is. I believe that he is still in Montgomery in Alabama, not having resumed formal campaigning since the death of his wife. None of them have been heard from yet. As I said earlier, Senator Eugene McCarthy is going to fly back to Washington today, and Vice President Humphrey is going to do the same.
It is just under 20 minutes before the hour. We are speaking to you from CBS News headquarters in New York with Details of this night and morning events in which Senator Robert Kennedy is now being operated on for removal of a bullet from his brain. He was shot last night as he moved to leave the Los Angeles hotel where he had just gone for a victory celebration and a victory statement.
The succession of tragic events that has overtaken the Kennedy family cause you to simply shake your head in disbelief. The eldest son, young Joseph Kennedy, killed during the war. And then Kathleen, the same. And then President Kennedy shot down. And then Senator Edward Kennedy, almost killed in an air crash in Massachusetts. And now Robert Kennedy. The father and mother of Senator Robert Kennedy are in Hyannisport. And their aide and companion, Ann Gargan, said that she did not intend to wake them to tell them of the news, but they must be up by now in Hyannisport. It's 7:45 in the morning. And so that unhappy couple has heard some more bad news this morning. Before the shooting, but after a trend in the California voting was discernible, Senator Robert Kennedy delivered a short speech out in Los Angeles.
What we're going to do in the rural areas of our country, what we're going to do for those who still suffer within the United States from hunger, what we're going to do around the rest of the globe, and whether we're going to continue the policies that have been so unsuccessful in Vietnam of American troops and American Marines carrying the major burden of that conflict. I do not want to, and I think we should move in a different direction.
And then he also offered his congratulations to his opponent, Senator Eugene McCarthy.
I congratulate Senator McCarthy and those who have been associated with him and their efforts that they have started in New Hampshire and carried through to the primary here in the state of California. The fact is that all of us are involved in this great effort. And it's a great effort not on behalf of the Democratic Party, it's a great effort on behalf of the United States, on behalf of our own people, on behalf of mankind all around the globe and the next generation.
It had been a remarkable week, really, for Senator Robert Kennedy. Just a week ago, in the ballroom of the Benson Hotel in Portland, Oregon, at around midnight, he had come in. After flying back from California, where he had gone to campaign on that election day in Oregon, and he had learned the bad news, and he had borne up under it manfully and made a very graceful speech of concession to Senator McCarthy. A remarkable speech, actually. And then he went down and campaigned very hard, winding up on Saturday night in that colloquy, debate, call it what you will, with Senator McCarthy, and then coming on to achieve a remarkable victory. A victory not only in California, but a victory as well in South Dakota. Alan, I believe that in all of the welter of events of the last 3 or 4 hours, we have overlooked exactly what happened in California and in some of the other states in the primaries last night. Do you have the latest figures?
I'm just glancing at some of the figures here in California that have just come in. Kennedy did win the preferential race in the primary, and according to the latest compilation, he received 46% of the vote. McCarthy received 42%, and the uncommitted slate received 12%, with the votes still being counted. He also won important delegates in South Dakota and was moving on to be a serious contender for Vice President Humphrey, as a matter of fact, the major contender now, with McCarthy apparently the third man around, and serious questions about where he would have gone after this event in view of the defeat he suffered in California. We might just recap for you, if you have just tuned in, many of you are just getting up this hour across the nation. Senator Robert Kennedy was shot and seriously wounded last night as he left a victory celebration in the Los Angeles hotel. At last report, he was being operated upon by a team of 6 neurosurgeons for removal of a bullet from the brain. The details have not come forth from the operation. At the time he went in, we were given to believe that it would take at least 45 minutes or more. It has been more than 2 hours since then. However, we have heard from Sergeant Shriver in Paris that he was told it would take 1 to 3 hours. Obviously, an operation of that sort is a complicated one and will take time. There is only one suspect. The police, in making their comments so far, have been very guarded. They have not identified the man. They have described him variously, calling him a male Caucasian, around 25, 5 feet, 5 inches tall, 120, with a swarthy complexion. There were three other people wounded in the burst of gunfire by the gunman. They are identified as William Weissel, a news producer for ABC Television, 30 years old. He has suffered serious abdominal wounds. Paul Schrade, about 30, a union leader from Detroit, suffers a scalp wound but is in good condition. Ira Goldstein, a radio man, was wounded but in good condition. Now let's go to Gary Shepherd in Los Angeles.
Alan, on the steps of Good Samaritan Hospital, Frank Mankiewicz, the press aide to Senator Kennedy, is now speaking, and let's switch to him live.
This surgery, Mrs. Kennedy is with it. Senator Ted Kennedy arrived at the hospital, and doctors now say the surgery will last another hour and perhaps two.
Have the doctors given you any idea of the extent of the brain damage?
Nothing beyond what I did before.
Frank, what time
did the surgery begin?
About 15 minutes after I was here. It would be about 45.
Frank, was the bullet lodged in the brain?
I can't go beyond the brain that I made earlier.
Frank Mankiewicz, Senator Robert Kennedy's press aide, now stepping down from a police cruiser placed outside here of the hospital of the Good Samaritan here in Los Angeles, giving an up-to-the-minute report on the progress of the operation. To recap what he has just said, he says that the operation will take at least another hour, perhaps two. Doctors still continuing the operation at this very moment. He said earlier that the doctors, six surgeons, were attempting to remove a brain from Senator Robert Kennedy's, a bullet from Senator Robert Kennedy's brain.
Reporter Larry Attleberry of Station KNX reporting from the steps of Good Samaritan Hospital, that news briefing conducted by Frank Mankiewicz, press aide to Senator Robert Kennedy. This is Gary Shepherd in Los Angeles, and now back to you, Alan, in New York.
There was also the suggestion earlier in the morning that even with the successful removal of that bullet from the brain, there remained the danger of possible infection, with the infection having been brought into the brain by the bullet itself. This is a further complication to be of concern to the doctors later on. Now we are told by Frank Mankiewicz that the operation has another hour or two to go, so it will be some time before we know what the outcome of this is to be. We were reporting before we switched to Gary Shepherd on the three others who had been wounded in the shooting. The third man was Ira Goldstein, a young man of 19, a radio newsman, wounded in the back and leg, but described as being in good condition.
The man who shot Senator Kennedy refuses to identify himself still and has not said but one word, yes, just the word yes, since his arrest, according to Police Chief Thomas Redden. He just sits there and says nothing, Redden told a news conference in Los Angeles. And that man is the only known suspect, he said. The chief said that the gunman had fired all 8 shots from an Ivor Johnson .22 caliber pistol when he blazed away at the New York senator, who was hit twice in the head, one bullet lodging in the brain.